Grace, mercy, and peace are now yours from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today, in the Old Testament lesson, we find the Israelites in a desperate situation, a deathly desperate situation. Bitten by deadly snakes, venomous snakes, and no doctor or no medicine could cure the effects of this venom. No army of soldiers could conquer these snakes. God had just delivered Israel, his people, from a wicked Canaanite king named Arad. And now snakes. I hate snakes, Indiana Jones always said. I agree. I hate snakes. The Israelites must hate these snakes. Deadly snakes. But these deadly snakes didn't just happen to be out in the wilderness. These deadly snakes were from God himself. You see, Arad had attacked Israel, even captured some of the Israelites, and they cry out, "Lord, deliver us." God hears their prayer. He sends his deliverance. He saves them out of the hand of Arad. He wipes Arad and his army out. And then, on their way to the next location where God's going to provide for them, it's as if they have no memory of, no relationship with this mighty and saving God. They grumble against God and Moses. They forget what he just did. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt into this wilderness to die?" they say. "There's no bread or water, and we detest the food you have given us." They don't thank God for his protection and provision. They curse God. It's no small mistake. It's no little error or just some sin. It's complete rebellion against their God, their Creator and Savior. The one who, because of his great love, brought them out of slavery, out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with great miracles, with plagues against Pharaoh, with great wealth from the Egyptians handed over to them when they left, with a parting of the Red Sea, with deliverance from countless enemy nations, with water from rocks and bread from heaven, and even, yes, quail. And they insult God. They curse God. And God sends venomous snakes, fiery snakes, to judge Israel in the rebellious, thankless, cursing hearts. And the snakes come and they bite the people and the people begin to die. And there's no doctor, no medicine, not even Moses could heal of this venom. No sword or weapon. No fire could protect them against these snakes. And so they cry out, as they did when Arad was attacking them. They cry out to God, but this time it's a little different. "Lord, we have sinned. Save us." And into the snakes, God sends his mercy and his love, his plan to save his people. "Moses, make a bronze snake and put it on a pole and lift it up. And whoever should look at the bronze snake, he'll be saved." And the people looked up at this snake, this man-made snake, bronze snake on a pole, and they lived. They were cured. And then 1,500 years later, Jesus, when uttering the most famous words in human history, calls this, of all the events, this event. "Just as Moses lifted a snake up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that all who look on him and believe will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Brothers and sisters in Christ, you need to know. God wants you to know. You, your family, the whole world. that you are in just as desperate a situation as the Israelites were in the wilderness with the fiery snakes. Because of another snake. A most deadly snake. The snake of all snakes, the devil, who deceived our first parents. It's not a myth, it's history. And it was a deathly snake bite. When Adam and Eve took that forbidden fruit and saw its beauty and took a bite because of the snake. It wasn't just a whoopsie, I shouldn't have done that. I made a mistake. It was no small decision. It was complete rebellion towards their Creator, their God. And that one bite influenced by a snake brought a deathly disease to the entire human race, into our DNA. That disease is sin. Sin is not just the things we do, it's actually a disease which causes everyone to die. And the problem is, we don't get that sin is a disease. Well, we acknowledge that we're not perfect. We all make mistakes, right? We even commit actual sins. But we also think that by nature we're all pretty good. We view God as a reasonable God, a loving and merciful God, and He is. But He would never hurt anyone. He would definitely not send anyone who just keeps themselves to hell. Hell's only for the really bad people, the Adolf Hitlers and the Charles Mansons, because of course they deserve it. God will forgive my mistakes, we think, because I'm a good person. I don't hurt other people. And the truth of the matter is, this thinking is farther from the truth than you could ever imagine. The effects of the first snake bite that our parents took have been passed down to you and to me and to all people. Yes, your imperfections, whatever they are, your mistakes, your actual sins that you and I commit are a result of the snake bite. Yes, you can correct this or that mistake. You can stop this or that actual sin. But you will still be in a most desperate, deathly situation. The worst of the effects from this ancient snake bite is that every human, since this bite has taken place, every human has been conceived and born into deathly disease of sin. And this disease is your problem. And it will kill you. And the proof is that everybody who's not living still has died. There has never been somebody who's been kept living on and on and on from generation to generation. You must know. God wants you to know today. It's not just that you make mistakes or do this or that sin. You have a disease, a deathly disease. Sin is a disease and it permeates your and my body and my soul. It causes your mistakes. It causes your actual sins of cursing and lustfulness and laziness towards God's word, greed, envy, jealousness, and the utter rebellion towards God that we are all guilty of. Not just Adam and Eve, not just the Israelites, but we're all guilty of it. And this disease causes all of that, plus it will kill you. Consider if you had a terminal disease and then you got pneumonia or the flu and you went to the doctor and the doctor gave you something for the pneumonia or the flu and the pneumonia or the flu went away. Would you be okay? No. Likewise, if you just stop cursing or stop drinking too much or stop having sex outside of marriage, does that make everything okay with God? If you make a commitment to perfect church attendance all year and you keep that commitment, does that change everything? No. You will still have a deathly disease passed down from a venomous snake bite. Every human being conceived and born into this world is in this desperate situation. because of a deathly snake bite. And that's why St. Paul uses language like, you are a slave to sin, blind to God, enemies to God, or in our epistles, and he says, you're dead in your trespasses and sin. And the bad news is no doctor, no medicine, no cure, no army of soldiers can remedy our deathly, desperate fates. Except the Creator of the world. The God who created you and me and Moses and the Israelites. The God who purposed us for life in His creation. And so, just as Moses lifted up a snake for those people back then in their desperate situation, so also Jesus says today, the Son of Man must be lifted up. That's the context of the greatest, most believed and read passage in the Bible. The desperation of the Israelites in the wilderness is the same as our desperation today. And so it's into our snake-bitten bodies and souls that this loving and merciful God sends His plan of salvation. His plan of salvation is to save you, your family, the whole world. For God so loved the whole world that He gave His only begotten Son. God gave Jesus. So that you, by looking up to His crucified body on a cross and believing in Him hanging there for you, you may have eternal life. Jesus, lifted up by God the Father, as Moses lifted that snake up in the wilderness, Jesus lifted up to make right your wrongs, to correct your mistakes, yes, to forgive your sins, your actual sins. And Jesus, God's beloved Son, lifted up, most importantly, to be your cure. Your and my, our cure. Jesus' blood, Jesus' righteousness, Jesus' perfection, Jesus' life, emptied out from a cross, lifted up, so that you may have life. Life as God intended it to be. Abundant life, eternal life, and a perfect life and relationship with your Creator, your God. And that is why we live according to His will. Not because we have to, not because we should, but because we get to, in our new life, our abundant life, live according to the Creator's will, this awesome, loving, powerful, all-powerful Creator and God. And that's why we come to church. Not because we should, not because we have to, not because we have to fulfill some requirement. We come to church because our souls need to. We need to soak up the Jesus that's lifted up for us onto a cross, out of a tomb, into our hearts and minds and souls. As Sandy Marie will receive Him soaked up in the waters of baptism today. As you and I hear and sing and read His words soaked up into our hearts and minds and souls, even into our mouths as we kneel and receive His body and blood for us. Jesus lifted up for us, for our life, into the snake-bitten bodies and souls of the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve goes the body and blood of the Son of God. This Jesus lifted up for you, for me, so we can live forever. Yes, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.